passage today comes from Deuteronomy 11:8-12. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heavens. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. This is the word of the Lord.
Happy New Year to you. Can I still say Happy New Year? Or at least Chinese New Year coming up, right? At least I'm not saying Merry Christmas. So some of you are still in the Christmas mood. This morning, the passage that we just read says that this is the land that the Lord is giving to you into so you can possess it. And it's a blessed land. It's a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning to the end of the year. Beginning to year end, the Lord's eyes on this land. And I'm looking at us going into the new year, 2017. It's a new year. New land the Lord is giving to us to go in to possess. But we are assured that His eyes is on this land, this year, that we are going into to possess. This morning, into a new year, I hope I can encourage you or to remind you of a new perspective into the Old Testament. If I can achieve that, I'll be happy to bring to you a new perspective into the Old Testament and then how to apply it when it comes to the New Testament. Now, from this verse, the Lord's eye is continually on this land from beginning to the end of the year. But in Deuteronomy 11, verse 11, love the Lord your God and keep His requirement, His decrees, His law, and His command always. When we read the Old Testament, so often we look at it from the point of view of law. Legalistic approach to the Old Testament is the law. The Lord asks us for a lot of things. We need to do this, we need to do that, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. So we feel that there is a lot of things that the Lord requires of us. But over here it says, the Lord your God, and what does He require of you? To keep His commandment, His decrees, His law, always. Now, remember this, remember that. Then He says, I'll give you that land. That land that I keep my eye on and bless that land for you. And in chapter 10, verse 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? So as we read the Old Testament, we feel that there's a lot of things that we need to observe, we need to obey, we need to follow. And as we come into the church and become a Christian, we feel that there's a heavy burden on us. We need to obey this, we need to do this, we need to do that. Don't you feel that when you come into the church? Sunday, you have to come for worship. Sunday afternoon, you have to come for group prayer. Monday, you have to come for what? And then Tuesday, prayer meeting. And then Thursday, fellowship group. And then you have to attend Sunday school. You have to attend Alpha. You have to keep your devotion. And then you have to give tithe and offering. I'll touch on that later. Usually, I don't preach on tithe and offering. But recently, I found that I have a new perspective on it that I can share with you. If we were to look at the Old Testament from a new perspective, grace precedes law. Just remember this one. If today you don't get anything out of me, just remember, grace precedes law. In Deuteronomy 11, 12, Leviticus, let's go back to Leviticus first. Leviticus 1, 1. It says, Leviticus 1:1 is very significant in a sense that the Lord is speaking to Moses from the tabernacle. Remember, the Lord used to speak to Moses on Mount Sinai thunder, lightning, and then the Lord said, okay, here are two tablets, bring it back, the Ten Commandments, bring it back to the people. Take one in the morning, take one in the evening, drink a lot of water, and come back to me in a week. Oh, no, that's my doctor. That's not what the Lord has received, the two tablets. But we look at it as the law, the law. So you have to observe this, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. But when it comes to Leviticus 1:1, so often when we read Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and so on, we don't understand them. Because we look at the Old Testament laws and requirements from the legalistic perspective. Now look at it from the point of view of grace. Grace always precedes law. Even the Ten Commandments, the verse before it is, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. That is grace. Then, okay, please observe this. Grace is always before law. So I can conclude, in conclusion, I can say that the whole Old Testament is full of grace. Old Testament is not law. Old Testament is full of grace. And now Leviticus 1:1, the Lord spoke to Moses from the tabernacle. It's no longer from Mount Sinai, far away and in thunder and lightning. It shows us the Lord is dwelling among the people. The Lord is with the people. After we become Christian, the Lord is within us, the Holy Spirit in us, speaking to us from within, no longer from outside. The Lord dwells among the people, and that's Christmas. And that is grace, totally grace. So the Lord spoke to Moses within the tabernacle. He dwelt among the people. Now from there, in the Old Testament, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and so on, you will see that there is instruction, very clear and precise instruction on building the tabernacle and also different kinds of sacrifices. The Lord asked the people to bring sacrifices for burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, and trespass offering. So often we don't understand them because there's so much details in it. But remember, all these offerings that are in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they are not for salvation. The Lord is already with them. In our situation, we already saved. We already achieved salvation because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, on the cross. And through our faith in Him, Jesus Christ, we achieve salvation. And now He's asking us to come for the peace offering, the meal offering, the burnt offering, and so on. Those offerings are not for salvation. Those offerings are for fellowship with the Lord. According to Sidlow Baxter, the book, Explore the Book, it tells us this is the offerings for fellowship. Coming to have fellowship with the Lord. You and me come forward to have fellowship with the Lord. So all those requirements is actually bringing us closer to God in our offering to communicate with Him and to worship Him and to appreciate Him and to have fellowship with Him. So those are for the purpose of offerings. Now, if you look at the book of Leviticus, you will find that the beginning part of it is talking about, okay, salvation. How do we achieve salvation? Whereas the second part is, how do we maintain that fellowship with God? And how do we maintain that fellowship with one another? Walk in the light. When we come to the Lord, His requirement is that if you want to have fellowship with me, I am the holy God. You also need to maintain your holiness. First of all, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you come to me through the cross. And now, if you want to maintain the fellowship in me, with me, maintain that holiness. That is sanctification. The Alliance teaches that one. And in our fellowship with one another, let's maintain that fellowship in holiness. So remember that those sacrifices are for fellowship with the Lord. And now let's come to chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord ask of you? And at the end over there, it says, you have to observe this and observe that for your own good. For your own good. Observe all these things for your own good. Okay, if we were to look at the Old Testament from the point of view of grace and not law and not restriction and so on, let me cite an example then. So often young people in our family, we sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we complain that in our home, there's no freedom. There's a lot of limitation. There's a lot of law. There's a lot of requirement. There's a lot of things to observe. Do this. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. And so on. Okay. Children so often feel that they are restricted, but they forget that in the family there is love and there is grace. So an example, one youngster just got a driver's license and go to the dad and say, "Dad, I want to borrow your car tonight. Can I go out? And then I'll borrow your car tonight." And then the father say, "Okay, okay, here's the key, but please come back at 11 o'clock. Here's the key. Please come back at 11 o'clock. As a youngster, when you hear, please come back at 11 o'clock. Now the father is saying, please come back at 11 o'clock. I don't know how your father would say that, but okay, come back 11 o'clock. We only remember the last thing, come back 11 o'clock. I hate that. I hate that. So you go out to your friends. Okay, I got a car tonight, so we can get together. We'll have fun. What time do you have to go back? Oh, my home, I have no limitation. I can go back anytime. What time do you have to go back? No problem. I can stay till midnight, 1 o'clock, no problem. Then you're even more angry. See, all my friends, they have no limitation. How come I have to go back at 11 o'clock? No freedom in my family. There's no love in my family. My parents hate me. Next time, if you feel that way, when the father hand you the key and say, please come back 11 o'clock, remember, it is for your own good. It's for your own good. And it is out of His love, out of His grace. Grace precedes law. Before He said, come back at 11 o'clock, that's law. But that is also out of His love for you. But before that, please remember, who paid for that car? Not you. Who paid for the insurance? Not you. Who filled up the gas this morning? Not you. All those are grace. Grace. And now you got the key. And you can drive and go out and have fun. Is that grace or is that law? Grace precedes the so-called law. Please come back at 11. The Father's love and grace towards us. But He wants us to be saved. He wants to love us. He wants to be in constant communication with Him so that He can care for us and experience our love. Now, in that case, let's come to another issue of tithe and offering. If you look at the Old Testament as grace precedes law, is tithe and offering, even all those offering, is it law? Is it some kind of a requirement? Then it becomes a burden to you. If it is so, look at the Old Testament in grace again. By the way, before I forget, I like the prayer that our sister gave before the offering over here. Give me a copy of that. No, that is a good prayer. I often hear a prayer before the offering, which I don't feel comfortable so often, but this one is so good. This one is so good. Theologically, it's so correct. And the attitude of that prayer when we come to the offering is so good. If you want, get a copy from her. Tithe and offering. Before we kind of complain and say, now the Lord is asking us again. The church is asking us again. Another fundraising campaign, tithe and offering, that kind of thing. Especially now that January tax filing is coming. So you're thinking about money, okay? When you think about that, look also at Deuteronomy 10:14. Why do we give? Why is the Lord asking of us so many things, including the money that we hard-earned money? 10:14, it says, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even highest heaven, the earth and everything in it. Does the Lord need anything? To the Lord your God belong the heavens and even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. That means he owned everything, including my life. But now he's asking for my money. He's asking me to give tithe and offering. Is he in need? No. Maybe the church is in need. Without money, the church cannot operate. But remember, the church belongs to the Lord, the Lord's church. It's not yours, it's not me, it's not an organization. It belongs to the Lord. It's a holy body of Christ. Now, with that, let me cite another example that we are very familiar when we look at tithe and offering. Let's change our perspective on tithe and offering. If you struggle in giving tithe and offering, always think of this illustration. Parents, we parents with young children, we are very familiar with this. We do this quite often. Parents with young children. Especially when your children is about 2 years old, terrible two, always say no. Terrible two, okay? So often we will bring out a box of cookies, and say, honey, here is a piece of cookie for you. You want a cookie? You want a cookie? So this little guy will come, okay, happy, I'm so happy. Thank you, I have a piece of cookie. Parents, you always do this. Give that little kid a piece of cookie, and then before that little guy put the cookie in the mouth, you will say, honey, can I have a bite? Is that right? You always do that, right? Can I have a bite? Then you open up your mouth. That little kid, look at the big mouth. Little piece of cookie. Wow! One bite, it's all gone. One bite, it will be all gone. Wow! Okay. If you face with that kind of situation, you with that little kid facing that big mouth and the little cookie, you say, it's mine. Should I give? So you have a choice. It's a dilemma here. You have a choice. Give it, no more. Keep it, I can enjoy this cookie in the corner over here. So you have two choices over here. First of all, no, and you walk away. No, and you walk away with that cookie. Yeah. Now, okay, let's turn back to, let's say, the father. How would the father feel? If you were the father, you're the mom, they give that little cookie to that little girl. How would you feel? Imagine, how would you feel? I bought that cookie and I just gave it to you. All I want is your response. Now, is that father very hungry? Is he very hungry that he's asking this kid, can I have a bite? Even if he's starved for 3 months, he won't take a bite of that little kid's cookie, right? So this father will be disappointed. This father will be not really angry, but really disappointed. I just gave it to you, and you are no good. And maybe the father can't sleep tonight. My little kid won't give me a bite of that cookie. Actually, I don't want your cookie. I just want your love, relationship. That cookie signifies your relationship with me. I don't want your cookie. I just want the relationship. Now imagine the Lord our God is asking, can you give tithe and offering? Our response can be, no, I earn it. I study kindergarten, I study primary school, and I study secondary school. I went to college, I went to university, 4 years, 6 years. I spent all those energy getting a degree. Now I get a job. This is my paycheck. I earn it, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go with my friend and enjoy it, enjoy life. because in the past years I have suffered so much. Now is my time to enjoy life. I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to buy a house, take my girlfriend out for the treat. Give it to you? No. Wait till I'm a millionaire, no problem. Now, this is mine. There's another option for, there's another feeling, let's say, there's another option for this little kid. This little kid can have another response. Okay, daddy, but please don't bite a big mouth, okay, here. Just a little bit, okay? So reluctantly pull it up and say, Dad, you can have it. That's a risk. That's a big risk, you know. Now, how will the father respond? How will the father respond? You think the father will say, thank you. That's a crazy father. No, this father will say, oh, you are so good. You are just a good kid, honey. But okay, you can keep it. You can keep it. You can keep it. I know you love me. That's so good kid. Okay. He's so happy. This father will be so happy. So in the future, observe this. When parents do that again, you observe this, how the kid respond and how the father or the mother will respond. Now, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the illustration. This father, if the kid will say, Dad, you can have it. The father is not so hungry that he's going to eat it up, but he will say, thank you, good kid, honey, you are so good. And then he will turn around, go to the table and take two more cookies. Honey, you can have two more. You are such a good boy. You can have two more. Now, we know mathematics. You know how to calculate, right? Okay. 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, simple, right? 1 - 1 = 0. Simple. Okay? 1 - 1 = 0. So this little kid doesn't know how to calculate, but he knows. If I were to give it to you into that big mouth, all is gone. It's 0. 1 - 1 = 0. It's gone. All gone. But in spiritual calculation, it is not subtraction. When it comes to tithe and offering, spiritually, when you look at it, it is not 1 - 1 = 0. 1 - 1 =... I just show you in the illustration, 1 - 1 = 3. Because that dad is saying, oh, okay, you can keep that one. Now you have one. And he went back to the kitchen there and take up two more. Now you can have these two. So 1 - 1 = 3. Maybe even 4, 5. It is multiplication. It's not subtraction. Because the father has grace and love. And why parents do that? Give that little kid one cookie and then ask for a bite. Why? They are not hungry. Why the Lord gave us all that we have and then ask for tithe and offering? As we read in a passage there, heaven and all in heaven, not even above the heavens, and then everything on earth belongs to Him. He's got everything. Why he wants your tithe and my offering? Why? Back to the perspective in the Old Testament. He wants a relationship. This mother or the father who's asking from the kid that little cookie is asking for a relationship. It is not a requirement. It is not a law. It is not you must. You must give me because I'm very hungry and I pay for this thing. You must give that cookie to me. You must give it back to me or else. No such thing. In the Old Testament, there's or else. No. It is out of grace of the Lord and it is His love for us. So in the future, when it comes to tithe and offering, think of our relationship with the Lord. It is out of His grace. and our appreciation for His love, if we want to have a fellowship with Him. So often when we come to tithe and offering, we always ask a question, is it before tax or after tax? Before GST or after GST? Is it gross or net? If you calculate that, if you ask those questions, you totally miss the point that the Lord is saying, can I have a bite? You totally miss the point of the intention of our Heavenly Father. Can I have a bite? And I don't teach tithe 1/10. Some people ask, is it 1/10 or 2/10 or 3/10? How much should we give and to whom? It is a total offering. 100% offering. Romans 12:1 is a sacrifice, of a living sacrifice of total giving to the Lord. Our whole life. When we come into worship, we will have fellowship with the Lord, our Lord, the living Lord, all-powerful God. When we come in to appreciate Him and we come in to worship, I believe at the height of our worship, at the climax of our worship, when we meet Him, we will always say, Lord, I am here. Send me. Lord, I am here. Use me. Lord, I am here. I'll give myself to You. For this week, whatever You want me to do, I'll just obey. I am Yours for this whole week. In that total offering to the Lord, your body a living sacrifice, if you're able to do that in the climax of your worship, you will have no problem in giving your money to the Lord. Does the Lord need money from you and me? No. He's God, the heavens and the earth. But He is looking for a fellowship, how you respond to His love and to His grace. In a new year, two things, we look at it from another perspective of grace. The law is not a requirement. He's not asking us to observe this after that. But He wants to maintain that relationship with Him. Secondly, when it comes to giving even our life to Him, it is out of His grace. And He wants us to have a fellowship with Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for salvation. On the cross, Jesus Christ died for us, paid the highest price, that we become children of God. And today we can come to fellowship with You. Today we can worship You. Today we can come to You and without fear. Thank You for that grace. And as we approach You, help us to acknowledge You are the Lord of our life. And we want to love You. We want to show our appreciation. Thank You for the new year, that You will continue to guide us and see us through. Keep us healthy. Keep us safe. And keep us continue to love You to the end of this year. Thank You in Jesus. Amen.
Oh Lord, we thank You for this message, the new perspective. Lord, everything belongs to You. Our money, our talents, our time, our life, everything. Help us to trust You, Lord. When we give back to You, it's not You demand it, but it's because we trust You. And when we give, we are actually set free to believe, set free to trust, to know that You will take care of us. Your demands are reasonable. Help us to give back to You. I pray this in the name of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.